United States v. Olivas-Ramirez. Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning, Your Honors. The police of court, Gregory Mitchell, on behalf of defendant Jose Olivas-Ramirez. Your Honors, the brief that filed in this case deals specifically with the sentencing issues, and that's it in this case. This was a guilty plea with respect to Mr. Ramirez. But the facts are very unique in two aspects. There is no dispute whatsoever that Mr. Ramirez's involvement in this conspiracy, that it lasted for about 6 to 8 months, his involvement was 2 days. There's no question about that at all. The second thing is that there is no debate or there's no argument that his role that he was witness seeing was the cook. But clearly the government knew that during the entire time of the conspiracy, the cook that the co-conspirators had identified was a man named Chino. And because this was a reverse sting for the possession of ingredients to manufacture methamphetamines, not the manufacturer themselves, but to acquire the equipment, the reverse sting directed by the government was designed to get as many people involved in the conspiracy who was going to manufacture as a way to, before they were to give the ingredients. And what happened in this case is that Chino, who was the identified cook as part of the ongoing conspiracy, did make it. The government had set up the reverse sting, but they demanded that they wanted all of the players to show up. Chino didn't show up. Who showed up was Mr. Olivas-Ramirez, and as a pawn for those 2 days to say, I want you to pretend to be the cook. The real concern here is whether or not these 2 days and him substituting as a cook now requires him to get 10 years more of a sentence or 8 years more of a sentence than every co-conspirator. And the question becomes, how does the government reach to that burden and how does a defendant argue that he's entitled to some sort of departure given this limited 2 day role? What I attempted to argue for Mr. Olivas at the trial court, which I tried to explain here, is that the government had cooperators, people that they made deals with to give them detailed information about everyone's role, to include their own role. And in questioning those cooperators, none of them identified Mr. Olivas as being anything other than the person who stood in for Chino, the cook for 2 days. So then the question becomes, if he is telling the court, that's what my role is, that's all that I did, should he be given at least one, a minor role departure? I, of course, argued for the maximum because I thought the 2 years, and given the fact that this was a possession case, not a manufacturing case, that his role as showing up to be the cook to allow the possession and the transfer of the ingredients to happen was a very minor part of this conspiracy that had been ongoing. Had this been a different type of conspiracy where we were talking about manufacturing, then I understand Judge Holderman's consideration that a cook is a very important person and thereby that's not a minor role. But there was no cooking involved here. There was never a case where there was any cooking. The government was trying to transfer and give ingredients to this conspiracy, and they would not transfer those goods until they felt that all of the players were present. And so they required that who's going to do the cooking? We need to see who the cook is before they made the arrest. Mr. Olivas shows up in those 2 days, no debate, and pretended to be the cook.
Well, he sure seemed to know an awful lot about cooking.
Yes, he did, and he was very convincing.
I mean,
and he was, and
he, was the, he sounded like the Charlie Trotter of the meth world.
Well, there's a couple of things, Your Honor, and this is the key in terms of the second argument, in terms of that safety valve, is what is it that he had to admit to? Did he have to admit that he was actually a cook and had done cooked methamphetamines in the past to get the safety valve? Because clearly that's not what the cases point out. It doesn't require that you testify or provide information about conduct outside of the scheme to which you are charged with or any prior conduct. What you have to provide is critical material information with respect to your conduct here. And clearly he admitted that. And so the question becomes, was it really material given the swing of the safety valve of whether or not he was a true cook in this instance in the past, or the person that he appeared to be on the tape, which he admitted that was him on the video. He, in fact, was persuasive, and indeed, he admitted that he was a cook as part of this conspiracy. The question becomes, what else did he need to do? And the cases don't say that any individual, to get the safety valve, must agree with the government's version or must admit every single fact that the government alleges is true. And that would be not an important distinction other than the fact that you have co-conspirator cooperators who you can easily ask, what was his role? Was he pretending to be a cook? Was he a cook in the past? Did this individual show up just these 2 days?
Why would you have to believe the co-conspirators when you have someone who comes in and, you know, talks about the 8 white plastic barrels, the 14 gallons of alcohol, the 4 gallons of acetone? Do you have a coffee pot, stoves, hoses, vapor clouds? Why would you rely on anything but the words out of his own mouth here?
I don't think you need to. The question becomes, if in fact he tells you, which is his statement in pleading guilty, that I was coached and taught what to say. That was what I was told to say, and I was good at that. The concern becomes, Your Honors, if in fact, does it make a difference in terms of his sentencing and his cooperation, or what in fact the one element involves? And the cases that the government cites only talks about when there's a two-person conspiracy and the individual does not give up his source or something else. There's no evidence that there's a source involved here, that he's withholding any critical information that makes the government's case either less harder to prove or there's information that they don't know. They know everything about this individual that they need to know for the safety valve here, and I would argue, and I did argue, that I think that, in fact, that the safety valve provision could have been provided in this case and should have. But the last position, and again, and I know they're three separate issues, but in considering my representation, I was looking at them together. What you have here is an individual who, all accounts, was involved in 2 days. So essentially, he can't even come in and cooperate and provide information on anyone else. So essentially, he's stuck with the entire volume of all of the drugs, but he can't do anything to help himself other than to tell the court, this is my minor role. What you have is that the individuals who actually do come in and cooperate, who the government is relying upon to convict those who are not, who takes their information in detail, and they get information and they give those individuals 48 months in one instance, but no more than 78 months. And they talk to those individuals, co-conspirators, and they do not contradict Mr. Ramirez's account of his involvement at all. And so what you have is he doesn't have an opportunity to cooperate because he's only been involved for 2 days. He can't deny or he can't prove that he's a minor role because he's such a good actor. But then at the same time, the sentence that he's being imposed with is in fact his role. He's admitted everything. The only thing that he doesn't admit is that he's had some experience. And clearly, with the facts of this case, of a 19-year-old individual with no criminal record whatsoever, his statement was that he had been a domestic before that, had come to Chicago just prior. And the reason why that's credible is because this was an 8-month investigation with cooperators where the government was involved. And surely they had more than ample evidence to determine whether or not this person had been involved before, had a role much higher than what he represents, or was it in fact what he represented here. So the question becomes, does the status of this individual as what the government believes alone, the status alone, warrant this disparity in sentences? Our position is, Judge, is that if you take the reasonableness of it and you look at the different ways that the court could have taken a look at, specifically with the 355 factors, comparing the co-conspirators, it's extremely harsh in this regard. And that is why we request it to be remanded for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Ms. Moncrief?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Mr. Olivas Ramirez didn't come up with the story that he had been pretending all along until after most of his co-defendants had already been sentenced. There are 5 defendants in this. Mr. Rogelio Bautista, who is awaiting sentencing, who had a jury trial, of which Chief Judge Holderman sat through. Heber Gomez Albarenga, who did cooperate with the government and received a cooperation benefit in his plea agreement. Mr. Lopez, who currently remains a fugitive. Mr. Olivas Ramirez, and then one other defendant, Mr. Daniel Perez, which memory does not serve whether or not he received a cooperation agreement, but my understanding is that he did cooperate with the government. At the time of the change of plea, Mr. Olivas Ramirez agreed with being either the cook or going to assist Chino. It was never read into the record when the factual basis was being discussed during the blind plea that Mr. Olivas Ramirez was pretending. Rather, the guy who normally does this checked out of town, and so now we have this other individual. If Chino had not left, Mr. Olivas Ramirez would have been assisting him anyway. Now,
okay, could I just ask you this? I talked about all the things that he seemed to know. Were all of his details correct? Is that?
Yes, and in fact, in the record, there is a chemist who testified as to the necessary ingredients to make methamphetamine, and of course those are the ones that Mr. Olivas Ramirez spoke to. You know, and I think these are kind of related concept, the safety valve as well as the minor participant, because you're looking at what kind of a role does this person have? Was he truthful about what he did? And yes, although he may have been brought in at the end, his participation was absolutely integral to this operation. The methamphetamine was supposed to be produced at that lab. That was the plan. To do that, these defendants needed pseudoephedrine and a place to do it, which the government was willing to provide. So in the defendant's mind, yes, we're going to make all of this. And Mr. Olivas Ramirez himself said, I can make at the most 12 pounds out of this. And here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to do it. If you got into the defendant's mind, they would have thought they'd have to be able to come through and cook all this to further the conspiracy. And so in their minds, Mr. Olivas Ramirez was the key player because without him, no methamphetamine would have been manufactured. Now, as this court is well aware, this sentence is only reversible, well, the fact-finding, rather, if it was clearly erroneous. It was not clearly erroneous. The defendant had the burden to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that he was eligible for the safety valve and that he was substantially less culpable than all of the other players. After the government submitted its sentencing memorandum prior to Mr. Ramirez's sentencing, pointing out all of the discrepancies in his testimony and the problems that we had with it, Mr. Olivas Ramirez chose to stand at sentencing and say nothing more than, I have been truthful. And the cases say that a bare assertion that he has been truthful and met the safety valve is not enough. Once the government points out, this is why you've not been truthful, he has the opportunity to bring in witnesses or testimony or his best friend to say he's not a real cook or whatever, and he chose not to do that. He chose to stand on just his statement that he had been honest, and that's not enough. Talking briefly about the disparity of the sentences, as this court knows, disparity of sentences within the same case is not a justification to reverse a sentence based on unreasonableness. The only person, the only two other people that have been sentenced are two people that cooperated with the government.
What were the ages, Ms. Moncrief, of the other two?
The ages? Judge, I don't know offhand, but they were older than Mr. Olivas Ramirez. But let me say this. His role was just as important, if not more important, than the other roles. Mr. Lopez, who was a fugitive, he was the one who worked or owned Chela's, which had the downstairs basement for the lab. Mr. Bautista was somebody who had delivered drugs on a prior occasion and was sort of along for the ride on this particular occasion, but was also going to help with the distribution, the obtaining of the pseudoephedrine. Mr. Gomez, you know, clearly had a little bit more experience in this than Mr. Olivas Ramirez, but Mr. Olivas Ramirez was going to manufacture it. That's the only way they could get the methamphetamine. That's the only way they could sell it on the streets and make some money. So even though his age may be younger, his role is important.
His manufacturing capacity or the cooking capacity, is it the government's position that that's it takes time to be expert in that? Is that, I mean, one doesn't become a cook overnight, is it?
Well, not a good one anyway, Judge. I believe that all of the things he said, I mean, even he had shown people, you know, look at the burns on my arms. I've learned the hard way.
That wouldn't indicate necessarily experience, I suppose. Could be that you just got burned because you just started cooking, too, I suppose. I mean, I'd reasonable inference either way.
That could be as well, except for the fact that the burn marks weren't, I mean, they were scars at the time. It would indicate a little bit of time period. But all of the knowledge that he talked about, not one defendant had yet been to the Bonfield warehouse. So if Mr. Olivas Ramirez is saying, oh, well, I was coached in this hour and a half trip there, nobody had even seen it to say, walk over to the right side, here's where you're going to see this flame, say this about it. He walked in, they were all blind to it, walked in and started making different points about, you know, this ventilation system over here, the drainage over here, this is where is a good place to put my beakers. This is not somebody who was not familiar with the process. And unless the court has any further questions, we'd ask that you affirm the sentence of the district court.
Thank you, Ms. Moncrief. Mr. Mitchell?
I'd like to comment just on a couple of things raised by the government. The first thing is with respect to what was his activity. And there is no argument that he was good at what he did, or at least he convinced the government and everyone else that he was what, in fact, he purported to be. The real question becomes that given all of the evidence that was there and everything that he's admitted to, is this one immaterial, insignificant difference enough to take him outside of the safety valve, given what the standard is, and that is that you are completely truthful with respect to what you know, and what you provide is material information that the government requests. Respond. And in this case, he said, I was the cook. I was the person in the video. I was the person walking around. I did say exactly what you said. I said, even though it was in Spanish, I did do all of those things. But what you're saying is that I'm some experienced cook, that I know how to do this. I'm telling you that's not what occurred. What occurred was I learned and was coached what to say and what to do on that occasion. And even if that is not true, the question is that so material that takes him out of it? Is that difference of substance enough to take him out of the safety valve? Given the minor role that he would have otherwise with the 2 days, and given the disparity and the opportunity for the government to clearly point out that that clearly isn't true. They had the cooperators, and it's not there. And we would contend that it's not, and therefore I would ask that it be remanded for sentencing. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Mitchell, thank you, Mr. Bindi, Ms. Mongrie. Mr. Mitchell, you have an additional thanks to the court for accepting the appointment and ably representing Mr. Olivas Ramirez. Thank you. The case